even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
What is up, guys? Ryan Sprague here from Somewhere in the Skies. Welcome to this very special live stream edition of the show, where we're going to be talking to the entire team behind the Big Phone Home 2, which takes place tomorrow. That would be Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, the 5th, 6th, and 7th. It's going to be an amazing time, and we're going to talk to all of the hosts of the event about that. They actually are just finishing up another show right now over on Unidentified Celebrity Review. So they'll be hopping in just a few moments here at their leisure. I do want to give a quick shout out to everyone who's here. I see UFO Jane is in our waiting room. Thanks for being here, Jane. I'll bring you in just a few. UFO Blueprint, Matthew Riot, Jazz Shaw, everyone's coming over from UCR. This is amazing. I love you guys. We got Mo, Anonymous Rex is here. Graham Gist was over on UCR, so we're going to talk a little about what just happened over there. Hello, Ethereal. Hello, Kaio. What's going on? Awesome. This is so cool, guys. Thank you for hopping over from UCR. If you're watching on Facebook, I do want to give you a note. In order for me to see your comments on Facebook Live, you do have to click that StreamYard link that I put right underneath the video. So go ahead and click that. It gives StreamYard permission to show your comments from Facebook on here. If you don't do that, I will not see your Facebook comments or questions. I do apologize. So better yet, head on over to YouTube, watch it there. That's where you can donate to the show, help us out in any way you want. There's a super chat button, a super sticker button where you can help contribute to the show and make it happen. And we'll put your comments at the top and answer your questions as well. Let's see what else we got here before I bring Jane and the rest of the crew in. This Sunday, I'm going to be interviewing noted skeptic Mick West on Somewhere in the Skies. And I will be asking Jane about her recent interview as well with Nick. He is public enemy number one in the UFO field, in the best of ways and worst of ways and everything in between. And I'm super stoked to finally talk to him. So if you have any questions for Mick West, please do not hesitate to send those to me before Sunday. Let's say Saturday midnight EST, get those into me for Mick West, and I will hopefully be able to get it into the interview. That's going to be a really, really fun one, and divisive as well, I'm sure. The last thing I want to let you guys know is Somewhere in the Skies was nominated in the Paranormal Podcast Awards, which is so cool. This is being hosted by Paranormal Magazine. That was a weird way of saying that. Let's just say Paranormal Magazine. And we were nominated for Best Alien UFO Podcast and Paranormal Podcast of the Year. I was so honored to be nominated for this with other awesome shows. That UFO Podcast, hosted by Andy, Into the Fray Radio with Shannon, Hysteria 51, Kryptonaut Podcast, Bigfoot Society, and Stories with Sapphire, a bunch of other awesome shows that were nominated. So if you want to vote for Somewhere in the Skies or any of the other shows that I just mentioned, head on over to Paranormality Twitter.com. I will put a link in the show notes eventually for that, or just go to my Twitter account at Somewhere Skies and be sure to vote in that. The deadline is September 30th at midnight. Again, that's ParanormalityMag.com to vote for that. So thank you to Paranormal Mag and everyone over there. So it looks like we've pretty much got the whole crew here. So I'm going to go ahead and bring them in. And hello to Kyle. Hello, John. Hello, Michael. Hello, Fifi. Let's do this. What's up, guys? I've got Jane.
What's
I've got Heather. I've got Mike. Welcome.
How you doing? It's a pleasure to be around so many amazing people in ties and wearing very upscale dresses. And it feels very professional. I'm just trying to get my bearings here.
You know what's so funny, Mike? I put this on for you guys because I'm like, I can't be the odd man out. And then I forgot about the odd woman out. I'm like, well, I'm going to have to make a joke when Jane comes on because I know she's not going to wear a tie. But you did dress up for the occasion.
You can tell so really this is a dress. It. I'm yes. glad it actually is a dress.
Absolutely. It's awesome. You can tell.
Thank you. Hello, everyone coming in here. Mike, I have you guys to thank for this, man. Woo! It is blowing up already.
We're like, because I just told people that Sprague in his beautiful blue eyes is in a tie, and they were like, they just had to see it for themselves.
I'm sure that was it.
It was.
Yeah, your check's in the mail, buddy. Your check is in the mail. Nightgazer, Boss, ABG, John, welcome everybody, Max. Well, let's go as fresh as possible. Everyone who just hopped over from UCR, you guys just talked to Graham about his new book that just came out. So, would you guys mind telling us a little about what you guys were talking about over there today and, maybe just a little bit about, his book that just came out?
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, Graham Rendell is an avid World War II researcher and ufologist, and he just put out a brand new book about Foo Fighters, and I'm just trying to pull up the book if I can get it real quick. It's called UFOs Before Roswell, European Foo Fighters 1940 to 1945. And one of the most fascinating things I think that came out of this conversation were the amount of things that people have tried to chalk up the Foo Fighters to. And so he does a pretty spectacular job of debunking a lot of these theories and hypotheses about what they were, because there's so little foundation in reality for what a lot of these folks are saying. Or he's basically debunking the debunkers, which is pretty fascinating.
I love it. I love it. And again, it's an era of this phenomenon that gets overlooked a lot. You know, whenever any UFO documentary starts or whatever, it's always Kenneth Arnold first. Or if they do mention the Foo Fighters, it's super, you know, 5 seconds of it, and that's it. And it's, you know, so I'm so happy to see this. Yeah, rather, please.
Well, yeah, I mean, even when they do mention the Foo Fighters, it's all USA Foo Fighters, the American force, right? And Graham went and, like, found the British Air Force records and was scraping through them and found new novel reports that are fascinating, cases where the pilots were shooting at these Foo Fighters and saw the bullets hit to literally no effect. Yeah, I haven't actually read the full book yet, but I'm really, really dying to. I think it's going to be, it sounds really interesting.
It does. And Lou, welcome, my man.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hopping in. Yeah, of course. Yeah. I did see your little box down there, and I was like, oh, he's probably, you know, resetting, as it were. And I'm like, oh, there he is. There he is. John, thank you so much for the super sticker, brother. I really appreciate that. We'll be doing that all night, guys. If you want to help out the show, we'll put your questions up there. There was one other, over on your show, I wanted to know, and maybe Graham can answer in the chat here, if he actually is a fan of the Foo Fighters band. Were you guys able to ask him that?
So I put your question on the screen while he was in there. We didn't ask him, but when I put it on the screen, he goes,
Oh, okay. So he was okay.
Wow, very interesting.
Come on, how can you not like them?
Yeah, how could you not like the Foo Fighters?
I don't know.
Especially just for the name alone. I remember you know, hearing that that's obviously where they got their name from. And they did like a special concert in Roswell and whatnot, where they kind of talked about the history and the inception of the name of the band, which is pretty cool. And I actually, for the first time ever, got to see them. They came and played at Citi Field here in New York. And it was the era where Dave Grohl had, like, broken his leg. And he did the full tour with a broken leg. But he sat in this throne just made of guitars. It was the coolest
thing I remember that
I've ever seen. Yeah. Because they were going to cancel the tour. Yeah.
Graham was probably a fan of Nirvana. I feel like to dislike Foo Fighters, it's like maybe you're like resentful, like
that
Dave Grohl went like pop or like mainstream. Yeah, that'd be my theory.
Yeah, he just here
That's
he
my
is.
Conspiracy
he
did, theory.
I think you're right. Yeah. I'm a 70s and 80s kid. What can I say? Oh. So we got.
He's in the wild rat guess.
I was gonna say rat. We're either talking hairbands for you, or
no, if I had to take a guess, I bet it's the Clash. He's really Ooh. Into. I'm just taking a guess because I'm a huge. I just bought every single album of the Clash, and I've been binging the Clash so hard. I think it's the best band that ever, maybe ever lived. But
London Calling, baby.
Oof, oh, I wonder if Graham's into the Smiths or the Cure.
Yes, but the Cure's great. Yep.
Duran.
Was In Excess a British band?
I just got to take a sip of my beverage here.
Wow, there you go. Let us join you.
We're going to be doing
a
lot of
nothing in
Oh my God. I love it. We're going to get a lot of shameless
my
plugs.
Future cup. I'll have to get one.
It's on its way, James. Yeah. Michael, hello. Alien Bookstore. Boca Face. Sorry. Alien Boca Face. That's an awesome name.
Hello. Awesome.
I was going to say Flock of Seagulls. Graham, let us know, brother. Who were your favorite bands?
We have to
know. Well, awesome. Mm-hmm. So you guys had Graham on today. I can't wait to get the book. I already ordered. It's in the mail. But let's talk a little about Jane first. I know you recently interviewed Mick West, who I'm going to be interviewing this Sunday again. If you guys want to get your questions in somewhereintheskies.com contact tab, send them to me. But how'd it go? I was able to catch most of it, but what was that experience
really well.
Like?
I thought it went really well. I was really nervous. Glurp the Alien moderates the chat. And I was nervous he'd have to kick people off, or a lot of people would unsubscribe. Because when I first announced that I was having Mick West on, there was a lot of negative comments, like, I have nothing to do with that. Like, how dare you, give him a platform. Yeah, the chat was, like, really nice and respectful, and I thought it was a really good conversation. There might have been people who were expecting me to, like, get at him and like try to trip him up or catch him saying something I guess dumb about UFOs or debunk the debunker if you will, but I was kind of more curious just like more about the human side of things, and so we kind of talked more I think more along those lines.
You didn't have a PowerPoint presentation ready?
Exactly.
No, I wasn't ready to like change his mind, or
that's the thing,
and
that's why I think my interview will sort of be in the same vein as the human side of him. I want to get to know the guy, and I don't want to spend 2 hours arguing over the Tic Tac video and like what it could be and this angle and blah blah blah. Like, that's not for me to do. I failed every math class I ever took, so I want to know, like, why. What led you down this path to debunk and what? And I know we talked about it. That
he does some good work in other areas too. I think is what he's talking about. He does some important debunking of some some pretty wild shit.
Which is a few of my
outside of UFOs.
Outside of UFOs. Yeah,
we're gonna get past UFOs in the interview. I've got some questions on other conspiracy theories and whatnot. I do want to thank John here for the $10 sticker. Motorhead rules. Yeah, I'd have to agree. Gosh, I don't know how you guys keep up with this stuff. This is why I need a moderator. And
why
need someone to
say I didn't know who the Clash was? I just said I bought all their albums recently. I knew who they were. Yeah, Jazz and somebody else just said it. Matthew Wright. I knew, dude, I'm very well aware of the Clash. I didn't have their entire music and anthology. Now I've got it and I'm loving it because there are tunes I haven't heard.
Right. But, it's so funny you mentioned that. In here in New York now, every street you walk down, there's just boxes and boxes of people throwing out their CDs, their books, because you know they all, you know, bought them and got them out during the lockdowns. And now everyone's like going back to work. They're like, I don't have space for all this.
Yeah.
These tiny New York apartments. So I've literally been going up and down every street. Like
looking
a rat,
for, yeah.
Just like going through, and I found an entire box of just classic rock CDs, and it was amazing. I can't wait to sit through.
I can't tell you, I did that all the time in New York City. I would, especially if I like was waiting for somebody to come out of their apartment, I'd be going, you know, just casually looking through the trash, being like, all right, you know, I found golf clubs, I've found really good books, I've found all sorts of stuff in New York City garbage. Bikes, like,
yeah,
it's wild.
Some stuff I hope I hadn't found either, but that's another story. Let's talk about strange itch. Yeah, where'd this rash come from?
12 years? I don't know.
Like, I didn't know there were crabs on the streets.
There were this weekend, man. Holy crap. We got like, and I'm talking about the actual crustacean crabs. We had a flood here in New York City, which was insane.
Dude.
We never experienced that here, to my knowledge.
Really?
Well, you had it. You had it during Sandy. Sandy was the last time that happened. Yeah.
I was here for that, and I can tell you, it was pretty rough. I remember trying to. Broadway was still open where I work during the hurricane, which was unbelievable.
So it's flooding in New York City, and then we had the freeze here in Texas in March.
And the hurricane in Louisiana.
Little global warming action. We'll talk to Mick West about that one, James,
yeah,
for sure.
Mick West will agree.
He will. I concur. It'll be the only thing we probably agree on in the interview. let's talk about Mike. We're just going to run through what you guys have been up to recently. Then we'll get to the big phone home. And then I got a couple questions for you guys on a couple articles that came out today, actually, which really are making some headway in the UFO community. But Mike, can you tell us a little about your interview recently with Irina Scott in the, forgive me, the gentleman's name that was with that interview?
Maybe tell us a little about Philip Shane. Yeah, we had Philip Shane and Irina Scott. Philip Shane is the creator of the What the If podcast. He's also the documentarian behind Being Elmo and Einstein. He also worked with Peter Jennings and did a UFO expose back in the 90s, Lou? Was it the 90s?
Peter Jennings was like 2002, 2003.
Yeah. But incredibly fascinating dude. He's very, very interested in science. His father is a skeptic. His mother's a UFO believer. And so he's got this kind of interesting middle ground that he shared with us. And, that was amazing. Irina Scott, though, was extraordinary as well. You know, she had a high level clearance, in the government, at the DNI, I believe she said. And it was just extraordinary, her sharing her experiences with like UFOs when she was a kid. Her and her sister saw these like miniature UFOs in her home. And then later had this extraordinary experience, capturing one, off a highway above an airport. And, you know, this woman broke so many glass ceilings and, was in science when so few women were. So it was just a heck of an interview with the both of those. It was just incredible. We just keep finding these extraordinary people who are sharing their stories, and it's fascinating. It's wonderful.
I love it. And again, these are like people that the UFO community itself has never really spoken to. Yes, Irina, but then, you know, your show isn't about UFOs. So it brings in an entire new conversation, a new audience, new guests, which is what we desperately need, other than the same damn people every other, you know, week saying the same things over and over. So that's
right.
Why,
and we wanted that was part of the goal when, you know, Lou and I started to work together, because we wanted to broaden, you know, we wanted to have a lot of conversations about, you know, it's not just about UFOs, it's about the future. Where are we headed? Where's humanity headed? And that's really what the Singularity Lab is about, is this, you know, futurism, technology, breaking science, and we delve into consciousness. And I think these are all important topics, you know, as we move into the future. So it's a fun ride.
I love that. I love it. Rather, have you come out with anything lately, my man?
This week I posted a video about ball lightning. I found a 1960 study from the government, a preliminary study on ball lightning, where they were studying the phenomenon and they were thinking about whether it had a fusion reaction sustaining it. So I found that very interesting. And then 50 years later, Eric Davis, a physicist who's very involved in all the UAP stuff, kind of Hal Puthoff's protege, he wrote a paper for the Air Force on ball lightning. And he goes through the decades of research on it, you know, some prosaic explanations. But the paper ends with one of his suggestions for what it might be, and it's completely redacted. And so what was there, right? And I have a video there that explores some potential explanations for maybe the government's been studying UAP under the guise of ball lightning, and maybe they've been figuring some things out.
What about the new squid sensors, rather?
Oh, yeah, that too. Just last night, I saw a video that they've been able to detect. So there's LIGO that you can detect gravity waves by these giant things that are miles long. There's a team of scientists who are going the opposite direction and are developing these tiny quartz crystal disks. And they're studying, they hook up a, I forget the actual name of it, the long name, but it's called a squid, using quantum effects to study the quantum gravity wave effects with this quartz crystal, and they're able to detect ultra high frequency gravity waves, the same type of gravity waves that scientists just a couple of years ago have wrote in a paper on, saying that these are the type of gravity waves that they'd be using to communicate with us if they were able to figure out gravity wave communication. So they don't know that this is ET communication. They found some signals last month. They don't know that they're ET signals. They could be, you know, black holes or some exotic matter doing their thing, but boy, it's very, very interesting.
Yep. Oh, dude, that's the kind of stuff that gets me excited. Like the new theories and thoughts on like how these things could be happening and whatnot. Wow, that's awesome.
Just keeps on turning. There's new stuff every day.
As it should. As it should. We got to hold their feet under the fire, which I think our good buddy Avi Loeb is doing, which we will definitely get to him in a little bit. But let's talk about the most recent interview over at UCR. Not the most recent, excuse me, but the one that ties in the most to what we're going to be talking about tonight, the Big Phone Home. And you guys had Tommy Zito on the show. And for those who don't know, Tommy did something that is exactly what the Big Phone Home stands for and was successful. So that is what gets me excited, that this is possible. We are making a difference. And Tommy spent so much time in doing that. So, Lou, you want to tell us a little about that conversation with Tommy, who he is, what he did, and how it leads into what we're going to be talking about?
Yeah, I mean, he's basically a citizen activist. He's been petitioning his congressman in his district, Putter Pro. What's his last name? Merle Putter. I can't. God, sorry. It's slipping my brain. Sorry, I've got a bunch of congressmen in my head.
You just did a 2-hour show. Perlmutter.
Perlmutter. Okay. Congressman Perlmutter in the 7th District of Colorado, and he's been soliciting him for 2 years. He's been emailing, calling, tweeting, calling, emailing, tweeting, calling, emailing over and over and over again. And for 2 years, they kind of just jerked him around, and to a point where he was like, what do I have to do? I'm going, I've been to the town hall meetings and I get ignored. I've been, I call you guys, I email you guys. You tell me to go through this process. And here I've been following your process for 2 years and it's gotten me nothing. What do I have to do to talk to somebody? And that finally lit a fire under a staffer's butt to set aside 10 minutes with Perlmutter and with Tommy Zito. And they sat in a room and talked about this topic. And he made the congressman aware of a lot of things that the congressman was not aware of. And it was a beautiful window into what congressmen do and focused on, and why, this question keeps coming up. Well, he must have seen the report. Like, everybody's seen it. No, not everyone has seen it. Like these people, again, like, they're 70% of their time is raising money to get reelected. Right. And the other 30% of the time is going over actual job stuff. And who knows how much of that 30% they're actually focused on their actual job. But that's a whole nother story. But the point is that they've got other things on the burners. And so when they see the UAP congressional report, they might ignore it, which is exactly what Perlmutter did. He was aware of it, but he never read it. And that's like when you make the congressman aware of what's in that report and it catches his attention because he clearly hasn't been briefed by his team. Now he actually might look into it, and this might be, you know, become something that he starts activating himself on and demanding from his staff to get him some details on what's going on. So it was just, yeah, it was, I didn't know who Tommy Zito was until 2 weeks ago. And a matter of fact, it was Sean Cahill who was like, look at what this guy did. I was like, wow, look at what this guy did. I immediately reached out. I was like, dude, like, I got to have you on the Big Phone Home because we've got to explain to people, and Tommy's the perfect example of this, of how this is a process, not an event. Mm-hmm. This is it's a marathon, not a sprint, and how relentless we have to be, and you know how the Big Phone Home is not a 3-day event this time. You know, it's a state of mind. We can use this website. We can use these templates to reach out to our local and state officials and demand more. And it's okay to do that. We're taxpayers. We have that right. That's the whole reason why we have representatives, is to express our concerns to them. And we're doing it in a professional, courteous manner. But it's also very clear what we want, and that's congressional hearings. We want hearings. You know, we're getting a report every 90 days. We'd like to be privy to that report. We'd like to see some more data on the information that's already out there, especially on the GoFast, the Gimbal, and the Tic Tac videos. Like, do we have any other angles? Do we have radar information? Do we have higher fidelity video? Do we have audio, cockpit audio from the Aguadilla footage? Do we have, the tower that was at that airport in Puerto Rico? Like, do we have their audio? These are all things that are already out in the public. So why not just be a little more transparent with those things? And the incentive for government or elected representatives is they're being transparent. And that's going to win a lot of brownie points with your voters. And it's going to win a lot of brownie points outside of your districts, because people are curious about this. And when they get any kind of information, I mean, we saw what happened 2 months ago when the report dropped, and we had 60 Minutes and we had the New Yorker and what was the other big magazine that had an article. But the whole point is that it was in the mainstream, it was in the Washington, D.C. lobby hotel. It was in power meetings. It was at the water cooler. It was, you know, in warehouses. People were talking about this because they're curious and because they were given a little bit more transparency. Like that 60 Minutes interview, we finally got to see Alec Dietrich, right. And we could put now a face to the story. And that's transparency. Like, that's being honest, you know? So I think that you could just see how far it goes when they're just even a little transparent, and it wins trust. So it's a win-win for the government. And plus it also, which I think is the most important, it kills stigma. So pilots and military officials can start reporting what they're seeing. And it also kills false flag narratives and dangerous, you know, conspiracy theory thinking. Like, we got to get away from the conspiracy theory aspect of these things and stop making definitive statements off what we think might be happening. You know, so we're trying to get away from that as much as possible. And, you know, that's why we brought Tommy on, because I thought he was just a shining example of how long it takes, how persistent you have to be, and what you have to do. And that's why we had Tommy write one of our templates, you know, and write sort of the bullet points for when you call. So you know what to talk about when you call, because maybe you get nervous when you call. Yeah. It's, you know, a lot of people haven't done this. So, you know, that's the whole point of the website, is to sort of teach people who've never done this how to interact with their government. We've made it as easy as possible, from signing a petition to providing bullet points for phone calls to providing templates for emails and tweets. We've put it all there for you guys. It's super easy. It's copy and paste stuff. So, I mean, I've sent my template from John Greenwald to my representative on Saturday. I've already gotten a response. I already got a response from them, and they're looking at my email. They're passing my email on to the senator of California.
That's like, awesome.
That's what we want. So
that's exactly what you guys are going for. Yep.
More people in the state of just 40 in the state of California sent that email or another template that we had on there, we're going to maybe get the senator of California to come on and talk to us, you know,
exactly.
Or at least say something publicly about it. So just do it. It's so easy. We can't make it any easier.
Exactly. And that's what the website really does, is it makes this very digestible and easy for anyone to just do it. John says, please sign the petition. Yes. Go to Big Phone Home, thebigphonehome.com. It's like two clicks. Just sign it. Every vote counts. Like, your votes count, guys, when it comes to this. We're always told that they don't, but they do, and it's making a difference. Lou, you mentioned conspiracy, and yeah. I do actually want to touch on that with you guys. There was an article that came out in the Washington Post today that really kind of covered this in terms of kind of the age we're living in when it comes to conspiracy theory, QAnon, which, you know, has kind of taken a backseat, but it's still there. Still thriving, as many of these things do, and kind of the UFO community and how sometimes it does reflect and mirror a lot of these very hardcore conspiracy communities. Did any of you guys get a chance to read this article by, let me get his name right, Jose Del Rio? I did speak to him, actually. I did assist in this article in the background, and I was very surprised. I didn't know it was coming out today. Did any of you guys get a chance to read it, and what did you think about it?
I haven't got it.
At Rather's face. Just look at Rather's face. Rather. That's where you go.
Rather, everyone's asking us if we're brothers too, man.
you're very handsome.
That's a conspiracy
guy,
for a
I mean, the haircut, though, is very
similar.
I'm looking a bit like a ghost today. I got to do something about my lighting. But yeah, Rather, what did you think of the article, man?
Well, I think that there's an inherent difference between, you know, like, conspiracy theories like QAnon and those other conspiracy theories that they mentioned in the article versus the UFO topic. And I think the main difference is that on these other conspiracies that mentioned, there's an underlying, provably incorrect fact that kind of these things are built upon. You know, take flat Earth, for example. You know, we can prove that the Earth is round. So that conspiracy theory is just, you know, people can look at it and tell that it's false. The UFO issue, on the other hand, We don't have that. There's just it's literally, you know, there's no answers. And I think that it's just as reasonable of a position to think that there's life exists in other universes. And if there does exist life, it probably has made its way here. I think that's a valid assumption. You know, there's the other assumption I think is valid as well, but there's no clear answer here. So I don't think that they're similar at all. I think it's dangerous to believe things without proof, clearly, but you know, I don't see the similarities that they draw in this article. I don't agree, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't read the article, but I definitely agree with Rather. I think that, you know, conspiracy theories are simply when people fill in the blanks, right? When an organization is not being transparent, it's very natural. It's very normal for human beings to want to fill in the blanks. And that's what a conspiracy theory is. Are there real conspiracies? Absolutely. Anytime two people conspire together to do something and then lie about it is a conspiracy. But this idea that, you know, the reason it's called a theory is because it's a theory. It's an idea. It's conjecture. So, you know, when it comes to the extraterrestrial or UFO phenomenon, I think it's super important. You know, we sit over, we don't pass on any conspiracies because we don't know, right? To assume you know is when you're involving yourself and engaging in a conspiracy theory, but we don't know. We're simply interested in this topic. We're interested in getting more data, and that's why we're doing the Big Phone Home.
Yeah,
I love that. Yeah,
and it's I mean, you know, the reason why we have conspiracy theories is what Michael just said, is because somebody's not being transparent enough and not giving enough proper information, or the information that's coming from the top is bad information. And right. So people then begin to question it. And so that's sort of the dangerous position with the conspiracy theories. And it's why I'm urging our senators and congressmen to really think about being transparent when asked about this topic as much as they can be, without, of course, revealing any, you know, sensitive national government secrets or the process of how they collect data, but just a little bit more transparency. Just talk about it. Just giving you talking about it gives the permission to science to study it. And it also, it, you know, if we can get some senators to say, yeah, there's no false flag narrative, there's no secret space program where we're trying to collect money and selling a false flag, you know, or this, you know, this PSYOP situation where we're just getting ready for the Space Force, you know, because that's what people say all the time, is that this is just a money grab to open the Space Force. And I hate to break it to people, they've already got the permission. The money's already coming. Like, if they don't need this to do it, but coming from me doesn't mean as much as it does coming from a senator or congressman. And so that's what I mean by trying to kill the false flag narrative and kill the stigma, because the more honest they are, and again, it doesn't take much, the more we can take that and use it to shoot at stigma and these dangerous narratives, and move this topic away from the conspiracy and closer to the science and the facts. But also be sensitive, you know, because we're talking, you know, once the Big Phone Home is over, our next initiative is really talking to you, Ryan, is going to be a part of this, is sort of we want to do an experiencers month or week where we really, really take the time to talk to this part of the community and really try and understand. I mean, I don't think we're going to get to the bottom of what it is, but at least for at least a month, so show some empathy and just listen for a little bit, and try and put yourself in that perspective or in that PTSD that some of these folks live through. You know, so it's we need to be respectful to that aspect of it. But again, you know, even with my personal experience, and this is something that I hope to maybe, you know, communicate when we do this sort of special month or whatever we're going to call it, that, you know, we got to keep our personal experiences out of this. Unfortunately, as powerful as they are, as important to you and personal and visceral as they are, I can't take that and put it on the desk of a senator. Like, right. you can understand that, right? And I think if we could both come to sort of that meeting point, I think that the conversation about experiencers can really start to progress, you know. And I think it's an important part of this, but right now we're just so focused on the nuts and bolts, the things that we can prove, the things that I can give to a senator that's going to convince them one way or the other to pursue this. But I think once we do that successfully, and I think we will, then that really opens the door for us to have this other conversation that needs to be had.
Exactly. Ryan, yeah. Can I make a quick comment on the false flag PSYOPs conversation? I think this is an important distinction that a lot of people miss in this conversation. And so when you think about the reason that a government would do a PSYOPs, especially in a free society, is because they're trying to throw off the enemy, right? They're manipulating their own people to throw off the enemy, right? Whether it's the Soviet Union in the, you know, 50s or 60s, whether it's China, that's why they do that. It's not to get funding for a branch of the military. The funding is there, right? That's happening. It's going to happen. We have not done anything to slow down the military industrial complex in the United States of America. And it's very difficult to stop that train that's rolling. PSYOPs were always used to throw off the American people because we live in a free society, and we wanted to ensure we were throwing off the Soviets and the Chinese. And I just thought, I think that's an important distinction, because if we want to kind of squell this conspiracy theory of false flag, like there's such an important distinction there that I think people sometimes gloss over.
What's up, guys? Ryan Sprague here, and I'm just dropping in to remind you about our Patreon campaign. Somewhere in the Skies is always free to consume, but it's not free to create. So if you want to help the show on a monthly basis, we have tons of rewards for you in return, including shoutouts on the show and website, bonus content and episodes, and free merch. Want to be my guest or pick a topic for the show? You can do that too. So if you'd like to learn more and to help support the show, visit patreon.com/somewhereskies. Thank you, and keep looking up.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Absolutely. Can I vote? And I'm going to try this. Will be my early New Year's resolution. I am so tired of the word conspiracy theory. And the word fringe was in that article everywhere. It's a theory. And it maybe it's been debunked, like Rather was saying, or maybe it's a more arguable theory, but I'm just so tired of it. And like, no offense to the author of that article, I think it was well written. It's definitely well written. It was a nice profile of this person. It was a little bit sad, in my opinion. The take on it all, but it felt like a dated, kind of old article, like, and this is not the story, in my opinion. And just constantly associating any theory with that is unusual to you or whatever is new to you with QAnon or flat earth or whatever, just, you know, it's just, these are like, and one thing I'll say, and I've always talked about debunking the debunkers, my red flags just go way high when I'm seeing a lot of that terminology used to discredit witnesses or sightings, because there are psychological reasons that we believe what we believe. There's deep-rooted psychological reasons that we love the scientific method, that we believe lies and propaganda and the cover-up just as much as why we delve down the conspiracy theory path. It's irrelevant. It's totally irrelevant. And when all articles are 90%, what is the psychological reason that this investigator, you know, he really wishes that he wasn't alone in the universe, poor guy, you know, searching for the truth. Like, who cares?
Right.
Like, the same reason we want to read a hard science facts are rooted in the same humanity. And it's just, I'm so tired of it.
Right. And by using other conspiracies to debunk UFOs is a straw man logical fallacy. You're literally just, you're like, hey, look at that. And then you just throw it in another direction. It makes no sense.
And they lumped the whole UFO community into, you know, believing the exact same things that, you know, everyone believes, you know, the most out there theories where, like, you know, you read the article, you'd think the author would probably think that Avi Loeb is a conspiracy theorist, right?
Right.
Good point, rather. Well, in Jane and Mike, you guys, you bring up a good point. Now, I remember I was on the phone with that author for, 3 hours maybe. And we went through kind of what he wanted to do with the article. And we went through the very human side to all of it. And he did tell me from the start, I want to connect this somehow to QAnon and the conspiracy culture of today. And I was like, that's fine. Like, I'm willing to go down that road with you because there are comparisons to be made. Absolutely. But it's clear that that was not the focal point of the final product, which I was also very disappointed in. Like Jane mentioned, the article is titled A Lonely Journey of a UFO Conspiracy Theorist, which is so like pitiful when you think about it. It's brutal. And I felt so bad for that MUFON investigator in the article. But, you know, he had some good things to say, and I think he really stuck up for himself and came out looking actually pretty good by the end of it. So good on that MUFON investigator, Sean, his name was. Dr. Chris Cogswell was interviewed as well, which was pretty fascinating to get his whole take on it as well. Conspiracy culture. And I know you guys had a really good conversation with him not too long ago. But yeah, it was interesting. And it always gives me kind of, you know, when I see that it's the Washington Post, I'm like, yes, good. It's still out there. The UFOs are still out there in the mainstream. But then, like Jane said, this is what it is. It's like, well, this isn't helping anything per se. It's putting a microscope on one small aspect of the UFO community, which is conspiracy theory. But yeah, it's
Lou, you're muted.
What I was saying, then, well, they take they microscope it, and then they take that example, and then they paint everybody else in the community with that brush, and it's just it's inappropriate, and it's kind of dangerous because you're lumping all of these people with QAnon.
It is. It does lead you down presumptive road. Yeah. Well, and that actually, sorry, Lou, go ahead.
I was going to say, but with that said, it still is a good warning, like how this subject can suck you in and put you in a path that is really destructive to yourself.
Look at Paul Benowitz.
Yes, exactly. And so I wish the title was different and the emphasis on it was different. Like, hey, if you're not careful, this is what could happen. But this example does not mean that everyone in this is what is who they are. And but there is an underbelly to this that is really nasty, where they're, you know, they're like a membership where they're collecting $100 a year. They've got, you know, $250 manual, you know, all of these things that they have to pay for. They don't get paid for their time. They put in a multitude of, you know, full-time jobs sometimes to be an investigator, and then they do their own job, and then they've got, you know, they're married, they've got kids that they've got to balance with that, and they get sucked in, and it just completely, it's like a cult a little bit, you know. So you have to, I think those stories are important, but you need to highlight them, I think, in a different way that doesn't paint the brush on everybody else and lump us all into, oh, we're all spending this money, we're all wasting this time, we're all crazy conspiracy theorists, we all don't love our family, we ignore our children, we're all hermits that live in a, you know, in a bubble, you know. So that's what I didn't like about it. But totally. But at the same time, it is like, be warned, like, this does happen and it can happen to you easily. So try not to have a belief system when it comes to this, you know.
Build your entire identity around it.
Correct.
Exactly, Mike. Belief, I know you said that.
Don't call yourself UFO Jane. Your whole identity.
Don't start a YouTube channel talking about UFOs. Exactly.
I do want to thank Jean Charlevoix for the amazing donation. Thank you so much. Do you guys realize that the U.S. is, this is what Jean said, Do you guys realize the U.S. is one of very few countries where this conversation can take place as freely as we are witnessing? I personally have no idea what opinion the people around me have on UAPs. Please keep it going. Thank you, Gene. That's amazing. And again, that's what it's all about. And someone else gave us a super chat. John, thank you so much, John. But that actually bleeds right into the next article I want to talk to you guys about before we finally get to the meat of the conversation, the big phone home. This op-ed piece that came out, or I shouldn't say op-ed, an open letter to the UFO community by Sean Cahill, who was a chief petty officer during the Tic Tac event of 2004. And this really kind of put me in my shoes, and I was like, wow, this could not have come at a better time. With kind of, we're in a weird place right now. We're post, you know, UAP report. We've got, you know, this controversy going on in the UFO community with an experiencer who is claiming to finally provide evidence of aliens living in, what is it, mountains or a cave or something like that. And it's frustrating because every time we think we're making headway, something comes along that seems to give us, put us two steps back. I had this conversation with Jimmy Church last night, actually, where we kind of came to the conclusion we're not really taking steps back. Like, this is just, you're taking a little detour. There's a timetable for it. And if it's not what it is, we get back on the main road and we keep moving on. But what did you guys think about this open letter to the UFO community by Sean Cahill? Anyone who wants to hop in with that?
I mean, I thought that, you know, it was basically like, don't be a dick and like, don't destroy everything we've made just because you have a different idea. Right. I mean, that's what I got out of it. And I realized that, you know, there's so much infighting within the community, and, you know, that's all we try to do in our shows is take people who have different opinions and let's air those opinions out and let's run them through our filters of logical fallacies and cognitive bias. And let's learn something. That's all we do.
Yeah. That's a good point. What did you guys think about it?
Yeah, I thought it was beautiful writing. He, you know, really paints a great picture. I thought it was, you know, great piece of prose and, you know, really, really fun to read. You know, I thought that the message kind of seemed to be that he, at least my reading was that he wanted to kind of detach the new research from the kind of the history of alien bodies and woo and that sort of stuff, kind of trying to tell us that people who are investigating it now might not want to be associated with all that stuff. And I think that that's a decent message. It kind of goes on to what Lou was saying, is that you can't really take, although there might be truth behind all that stuff, in the present form, you can't take that and give it to a congressman or woman and advance the conversation. So I think that there's a lot of wisdom in what he was saying.
Right. And, you know, it's so funny. I was listening to a movie review podcast, you know, when I'm not listening to you guys or every other UFO podcast out there. I love listening to movie reviews, and they were reviewing the Langoliers, the made for TV movie, Stephen King. And it was hilarious reliving that movie in my mind with them. But kind of the concept of the Langoliers, this story, is these creatures that manifest through fear and through this and through that, and they literally chew up time. So in the, you know, the conceit of this story, what I think King was going for is there is no past. Like, literally these creatures destroy the past. So how can we look into the future, or how can we change the future if there's no past to go back and ultimately change? So kind of this really interesting concept with time and space, but it kind of brought me back to this idea of Sean's right. Like, yeah, we can appreciate everything that came before what's going on now in the UFO field. We obviously build off of that research and move forward, but yeah, kind of leaving that behind, because that's the stuff that will scare people away and will not, we won't get scientists to want to get involved. There's too much baggage from the past, alien autopsy, you know, all these other things that have gone on. So kind of, I loved how Sean framed this thing. I really did. And like you said, his prose were amazing. I do want to read one line here. This son of a bitch. He's such a good writer. This is not a new cycle. It's a fight to change the course of history. This fight doesn't have a bevy of embedded journalists feeding the satellite. It reports back to HQ with solid progress, and not until. You are both HQ and audience. Get out of the stands and into the trenches. I'll see you there. I mean, if that's not like a call to action, I don't know what is. I don't know what it is. But
pretty inspiring writing.
I love it. I love it. As a playwright, he's killing me here with all of this. but yeah, anything else you guys want to touch on with Sean's open letter and what we should think about in the community?
It was just so meta, you know, it's like, I mean, this is definitely not an article my mom's going to read, you know, to learn about UFOs. It was very, very like targeted, a specific community. I would say, yeah, I mean, I thought it was extremely well written. I really, really enjoyed reading it. So I've just appreciated that. I would say it's kind of this thing though, where like, we're kind of so obsessed with like our own culture and infighting and like what's to come. And the thing is the UFO Twitter, UFO field or whatever is going to get increasingly dwarfed, you know, so quickly and absorbed by the world's like point of view on this, which is full of witnesses and all kinds of people, and it's going to be such a big conversation soon. So I think what really got me is I don't know how much longer we have left of these like little kind of, I guess we'll continue to have these like inside conversations and panels, but it really is turning into this kind of gap between worlds. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not super eloquent, but that's kind of what took from it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And yeah. I think everyone kind of took something different from it. I loved it. I really did. It really made me look at myself and how I either present my research or how I handle this topic in a public forum. And, you know, is me going on Twitter and, you know, not making fun of, but immediately judging someone who claims to be an experiencer. Is that what I set out to do when I first got involved in this topic? No, I didn't want to be an asshole. I didn't want to be that dick saying that all these people are making shit up. Like, I wanted to work with them and understand why they think this happened to them and stuff. So it did make me kind of step back and be like, I wrote a book about experiencers and their lives and how it impacted them. I am the last person who should be immediately saying, no, that person is not telling the truth. It's impossible. Again, we will wait and see. And that's what it comes down to for me. All of these experiencers, all of it is just a story. All of it, until there's evidence. And supposedly we're going to get that evidence. And if we don't, we move on.
Right. I think Zach Saichi is such a great example of this. And he talks about this a lot. We know he spent some time on our shows. And he's like, you know what? I was an asshole to UFO Twitter. I was just a jerk because I had my belief and my belief was right. And I think that's where, you know, his growth and humility, when he shared that, I was moved because I was like, that's the way to go. And I think that's what Sean was getting at as well.
I think so too. Well, awesome. Let's reset the room, guys, and talk about it. We are here with Luisa Menez, Michael, we've got Rather, we've got UFO Jane. Everyone's here from the Big Phone Home and everything in between. You guys all have shows. I can't keep them straight anymore. But you are all coming together for the Big Phone Home 2, which starts tomorrow. My God. It snuck up on us, as I'm sure it has you guys. Let's go right into it. Tell us about who is going to be there. I'm going to pull up the speakers here if I can. Boom, there we go. Yeah. And if you guys, if there's anyone who really stands out that you want to really talk about, be my guest. Luis, of course, this is your baby. So if you want to start, tell us a little about who's going to be there, who you're excited about, and whatever you want, man.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, the first one was only one day, so we kind of had to mash everybody into these big panels. So when we were coming up with the idea this time, I was like, well, maybe we should do 3 days, you know, and they came up with the idea of, well, let's separate these 3 days into sort of categories. You know, well, the first day we'll have podcasters, journalists, experiencers, you know, everyone who's, you know, who's in the community, a community show essentially. And we'll end, you know, we're ending the day with people, fans of the show that call in and talk to us and share their opinions of the day. And then the second day, we're going to be doing science and tech, directly associated with UAP on Michael's channel, the Singularity Lab. And we reached out to Rich Hoffman, the SCU, and we reached out to the Galileo Project and Avi Loeb. And they were instrumental in helping us get a whole bunch of scientists to come talk to us, in this UAP discussion and how we can scientifically, talk about it first of all, and then how we can encourage other scientific boards, thinkers, mouthpieces to join the conversation. And then on the day three, we're focused on the military aspect of the discussion. So, former and, current government officials, veterans, we're having, Chris Leto, who F-16 fighter pilot, who's been going back and forth with Mick West. So that's going to be a really fun conversation. you know, Jazz Shaw is going to be there day three. We've got Danny Sheehan, we've got Lou Elizondo. You know, so the day three is, the one conversation I'm really, really, really looking for. There's two conversations on day three that I'm just like super excited about. So the first panel is going to be Danny Sheehan, Andy McGrillin, John Greenwald, and Jamarl Thomas. It's a 2-hour conversation. It's just going to be absolutely epic. And then the second conversation I'm really looking forward to is, Lou Elizondo, Rich Hoffman, Ross Coulthart, and Robert Salas. So, you know, just the nuclear aspect of this, I think, has been kind of overlooked. Nobody's really talking about it. So I, you know, we're lucky that we got, Mr. Robert Salas to join us. So that's going to be a really, really, really cool discussion and panel. And yeah, that, you know, the idea is to just have these wonderful conversations where people can partake, ask questions, you know, and see where it goes, see where, what happens when we bring these minds together, what kind of conversations we can spark, and then hopefully inspire people to use the website to activate themselves and send a couple emails or tweets or sign a petition. You know, we're bringing all these people together to, you know, the guests coming on the show is the cherry, the website and the activism. That's the cake. You know, everything else is just icing. And that's why it's free, you know, because we want to attract as many people as we can. We want everybody to watch. We don't want you to feel left, anybody to feel left out. And because of that, we're begging you, please use the website, activate yourself, get in touch with your local state representatives. That's why we're giving it away for free. You know, it's an exchange. We give you the free show. We give you the free 3-day UFO conference with scientists and everybody. And we even got a congressman. We've got Congressman Tim Burchett is going to be joining us the first day. So we actually have a congressman. This website was a big part in getting, you know, the staffers looked at it and then they passed it on to the congressman and the congressman was like, sure, I'll do it. You know, after, of course, Dan Warren, helped us get in touch with the congressman. So that was big kudos to him, for helping us, facilitate that. And yeah, you know, we've just, we're trying to attract as many public officials as we can with this event. And we're going to be galvanizing people during the event to reach out to congressmen and senators and seeing if we can actually get them interested. If we get a couple thousand tweets at Marco Rubio, who knows, maybe we can get Marco Rubio to come talk up to us about, you know, the UFOs and UAPs and what's going on. I really, 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 really want to talk to Bill Nelson. That's going to definitely be one of the people that I hope we can get a couple thousand tweets at Bill Nelson to come talk to us for 10 or 15 minutes about what's going on with NASA. And the UFO topic. And, you know, again, we're looking to kill stigma. We're looking to bring people together on common ground. We're looking to activate people, or motivate them to interact with their government. And we're just giving you, essentially a playbook of how to ask for things, and demand, transparency or whatever you want. Doesn't have to be about UFOs. It can be outside of UFOs, but it's just a playbook. It's a play by play on how to do it. And it just so happens that we want UFO transparency in public hearings.
Exactly.
But you can use the website for any kind of activism you want.
Cool, man. Well, let's tackle this observation. Good to see great women speakers. Women need more visibility in these discussions. I think we can all agree on that. So, Jane, of course, we're gonna throw it to you, right? Tell us a little about what you're gonna be doing at the event, who you're gonna be talking with, and what's gonna be going on in your neck of the woods with Big Phone Home?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm so excited. So speaking of women, so tomorrow, 2 PST, 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern, we'll have a ladies' hour. So it'll be Nikita Kranda, or NK Kranda, you might know her as that. So she works with experiencers and people who've actually experienced like trauma. And so she's really, her perspective is really interesting. Mm-hmm. And Jess Rogge, my good friend and solid researcher and podcaster, and then Lynn from Spaced Out Radio. And then we'll also have Lou Elizondo on, it looks like, for the second half of that hour.
So no, the whole hour.
Or for the whole hour. Okay, great. Yeah. I can't quite tell on the schedule. Yeah.
No, that makes sense. Awesome. Okay, I'll change where he's at. I mean, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. I couldn't quite tell.
But yeah, that's even better.
Yeah.
Session, guys.
So we're going to. Thanks, guys. Thanks.
Yeah, still got time. You got 14 hours, according to
you. We'll get it all worked out, all the little details and T's and I's crossed.
Sorry, Jane, go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds awesome.
It's a full hour, but we're going to kind of get maybe just show a different side of Lou, get like a more female perspective than maybe he's used to. And then also, I will say for Science Day, we've got Chase Kletsky, and she's got the forensics background, and Dr. Desiree Hertak, who her resume is like incredible archaeology, environmental sciences, like all across her perspective will be great. And then Monday, talking to Lori Refelt, who what is former U.S. Air Force, and she was actually stationed at RAF Bentwaters in 1980 and saw some things before the Rendlesham, that famous incident. So she'll be, you know, really incredible to talk to. So we've got some women lined up for you guys that and then Erica Lukes will be in there too, and Britt. So there's other women I didn't even mention. So
awesome. It sounds amazing. Yeah. And I'm so happy Lori's going to be there. Her story having to do with the Rendlesham events is a piece of the puzzle that I don't think a lot of people have really focused on. So I'm really excited to hear what she has to say and how it ties in to the famous Rendlesham Forest incidents as well. So that's pretty cool. Rather, what are you going to be taking part in at the Big Phone Home?
Yeah, I'm just... at all. I'll be along for the ride. I'll be, you know, trying to manage the chat, you know, throwing some good questions when I can, and having a lot of fun. It's going to be just amazing discussions. Every hour, there's going to be, you know, great, great guests. I'm just really looking forward to all the discussion. And I think we're actually going to make a difference, you know, getting these people, you know, everyone to call Congress is how we get disclosure to happen. You know, these Congress people aren't going to do it by themselves. They need this impetus. And I think that this is what the movement needs, and I'm really excited and honored to be a part of it.
Awesome. And again, we have to stress how important, but how easy as well it is to just tweet to these people. I mean, Luis did it the other day and said, guys, just retweet this. It's all I'm asking. You click one button and that's going to flood them. And that's when they're going to be like, all right, fine. Maybe I'll take a look at this. And then you guys know, just like me, the minute I click on an article, and then it's just a rabbit hole from there. And that's where you get them. And that's when they start going into meetings and being like, did you read that classified report? I didn't look at that. Should we go look at it? Because we can. We should probably do that, you know? So I think it's awesome. And like, it's so easy. And you guys have made it so easy. And for all the people out there who say, it's not going to make a difference, the truth embargo will continue. Okay, that's fine. But if we don't at least try, then we're just going to be having the same, not even argument, we're just going to have the same pity party for the rest of this you know, for the rest of our lives when it comes to UFOs. So I know that was not an eloquent way to say it, but
well, I will say, thank God Martin Luther King didn't think like that. Thank God Malcolm X didn't think like that, or any great leader throughout history on whatever the topic was.
Yeah.
So if that's your thinking, I'm sorry. You've lost. Like they got
you've already lost.
You've fallen victim to exactly what they wanted you to be, which is just
how do you eat an elephant? You know, one bite at a time. You got to start somewhere, and it might seem insurmountable right now, but
I mean, again. Yeah. It's why we brought on Tommy Zito.
Guys, it's working. It's working, and I know I don't know if else like on the chat can like speak to this. I know Ryan can, but look, before like 2017, UFOs weren't real. Like they officially were not real. Mm-hmm. So I started out anonymous when I blogged about it, and I've increasingly felt like I don't have to be anonymous. And so I think if we think just a little, think about this. The stigma of reporting UFOs in the past and how that is going away. And I think that alone shows that it's working. If people can report a UFO and not worry about some shadowy men in black figure following them or coming to visit them, then that's progress. You know, whether or not we prove that even the aliens are visiting or not, I think that's big progress.
It is. And again, some of these names and faces we're seeing that are taking part, these are not the people you would necessarily expect would take part in something like this. I'm looking at the scientists specifically. Like they have a very strict way of doing their research, and it's usually, you know, in the shadows, and they don't really want the world to know they're doing this. But then you have people like Kevin Knuth coming to the event, or Rich Hoffman, who, you know, work with the SCU as well. And the fact that they're willing to come on to something like this, and, you know, I don't want to say tarnish their reputation, because that's not something UCR would do, could do, or the Big Phone Home. But just to talk about UFOs, that can be suicide, career suicide for a lot of people. I think it's amazing the people you were able to rope in for this. And I mean in a good way.
I think the part of the reason is because when you look at our website, there's not a picture or mention of UFO anywhere. The word UFO is nowhere on the website. It's nowhere in our advertising
except
or marketing.
For me. Sorry.
Except for UFO Jane. Yeah, that's granted. I stand corrected. Except for UFO guys. Jane. But that's why I think, well, actually, if you go to her name, it might say Jane Kyle.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, yeah. You can UFO always Jane. Just do the name.
Yeah. But
human name.
But yeah, I mean, I think that's why when we sent the web, that was the one of the first things I was very, very adamant about. I don't want to see aliens. I don't want to see UFOs. I don't want to see any of that stuff, because if I send that to a senator, gone out of there. They're not even going to open it, click on it. But if the website's easy to use, if it's straightforward, if it's respectful, and it's to the point, we might have a shot. You know, and I think it's like Jane said, it's working. I mean, we've got a congressman coming on the show. You know, I've already given you the example that I've already heard from my senator. So at this website, and no offense to Michael, because he helped me design the first one, but even Michael admit this website is infinitely better than the first one we had up. It's so much easier to use. And I want to just give a shout out to James Fox. His website was a huge inspiration in sort of the framework we kind of looked at and used when we built ours. But we just added more. We made it easier. We added a petition. We added templates written by John Greenwald and Tommy Zito and Rather. It's a tool belt filled with a bunch of wonderful tools to talk about UAP in a manner that a senator or congressman will pay attention to.
And a big shout out to Ben from UFO Garage, who designed this website and built this website. I mean, yeah, Neato Creative. It's just extraordinary, the legitimacy that he helped to install in this process. So much thanks to Neato and Ben.
And, I mean, not only that, but he's also been adding a lot of the visuals that you guys see, the posters, all of that stuff. We had a designer make it, but the way he's been able to sort of edit all of these images and fit them to exactly my specifications, because I've been very, very picky with what I want. If you've worked with me, you'll know I think I have a high standard when it comes to the looks and feels of things. And if I don't like it, I'm going to be honest with you. And Ben was so damn awesome just helping us. Like, all of those thumbnails, he helped us design. Every single aspect that you see here, it all came from Ben's expertise and help. So if you need a website, I highly recommend to go check him out.
Absolutely. Sorry to block your face there, buddy. I forgot to take that off. I want to say goodnight to John. John was very, very gracious with his donations to the show tonight and his questions. So, John, have a good night, buddy. Thank you for being here. We have Gary Voorhees in the chat as well.
What's up?
What's up? Worth every penny, he says. Let me get that up on here. Thank you, Gary. Again, sorry, Luis.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
There we go.
You trust me. You don't want to lose viewers here.
Stop it. Gary, thank you. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. There was one other thing I wanted to put up on here. I don't remember where I saw it. Paisley says, right call, retweet, be polite, but be relentless. That's so true. Like we were talking about Tommy earlier. Like, this took him a year. To get a 10-minute, two years, generous, to get a 10-minute meeting, but it made all the difference in the world, which is amazing. So think of how many people saw the first Phone Home event and are going to be watching through these 3 days. If every one of us tweeted and called or wrote a written letter, which is also something you can do, and well, actually
you can print out our templates and do that.
Yeah.
If you wanted to make it easy. Yeah.
Yep. Thank you so much, Gary. Thanks for being here. I really appreciate it. What did I miss Invisible Night School? A lot, man.
Go back and start from the beginning.
Yeah. Good day. Good morning from Winston. I'm assuming they're in Australia. Well, is there anything else about the event you guys want to share with us before we start to wrap things up here? You guys got to go get to work. You've been on YouTube for, God, the past 4 or 5 hours. I know you have a lot of work ahead of you. But, is there any last sort of closing things you want to bring up about the Big Phone Home happening this weekend?
I think that everything that we can say about the Big Phone Home has been said, but the bottom line is we're just looking for support. We're just looking for people who are interested in this topic, who want a bit more transparency. If we've got a preliminary UAPTF report that's unclassified, what else is in the classified version? These are answers we want. These are the things that we're looking for, and this is what we believe we will attain, and it just takes momentum. As Rather and Luis said, it's all about building the momentum. Zero action creates zero results, so we're just trying to take actions that can mobilize a community to create a movement to get the attention of the people who can actually help us make a change. And that's the goal of the Big Phone Home too. And that's what we hope you all will join us for this weekend.
Thanks, Michael. And I do want to put this up here. You guys should get James Fox on the Big Phone Home. He's a big transparency advocate. That could not be more true. I know James is, I think, in Brazil right now.
He's in Brazil, yeah.
Making his new documentary.
When I tell you, I've tried.
I've tried
a lot to get James Fox, so much so that I basically pushed his website instead of mine on the first big Phone Home because I was so in love with his website. I mean, maybe part three. Who knows? Maybe
he'll
we can
come,
get him
he'll come
to,
see us. He'll come see
maybe
us.
Maybe he'll come see us this time. I mean, we could always tweet at him.
I know he's in Brazil. I know he's filming, so I don't we'll see. Yeah.
Well, I mean, last time we had some surprise guests that we didn't plan
true.
Coming in.
Oh, it's gonna happen.
That's what I was gonna
it's
say.
Gonna happen. It's gonna happen.
I know you guys are gonna have happen. People yeah. You will have some surprise guests. It's just bound to happen. And yep. I'm sure they will be pretty stellar and exciting. Any other last words, Jane, Rather?
I'm just really looking forward to it. It's going to be a blast.
I just think Michael, Rather, and Luis have done their the hard workers like behind everything. So, you know, I will be there, and but they've done such a great job putting this event together, and I'm so excited to be part of it. And I hope everybody tunes in. And not just that, like, this is also a different way to talk to family and friends too, because now you have this activism, like, policy angle where you could almost talk to them about it in a neutral way. And it's not even about if aliens are real. It's just like, I'm curious about this. And maybe they signed the petition to, like, support you because they're a family member, a friend of you or something. So I think that's a, keep that in mind too when you're talking to folks in regular life.
I'll
a lot of love in the chat here, guys. Let's
great way to get introduced to the UFO community. You know, like prior to the first big phone home, I didn't know about, you know, most of these people in the, you know, community. It's pretty overwhelming to go to UFO Twitter, go to YouTube and figure out, you know, who are the interesting names to follow. And, you know, we've got a lot of them these 3 days. So, you know, if you're looking to know who the interesting to follow, you know, come check out Big Phone Home, too.
Gary. Yeah, please.
Gary,
I mean, if you want to be one of our surprise guests on maybe day three during our veteran military day, we would love to have you. I'm sure we'd be able to squeeze you in there somewhere.
We can make it work. I had him on not too long ago, and he blew my mind with some of the stuff he's been looking into. So, yeah. Gary, if you can make it any of the 3 days, man. Please, reach out to us for sure.
Yeah, well, and look, if you can't make it, that's cool too. I mean, if you're looking for other ways to help, retweet. You know, anytime we share the website yourself. Use the hashtag #TheBigPhoneHome2, which is trending now. That it's been trending for at least 3 or 4 days. So, you know, use the hell out of it. It's definitely a big reason why we had so many viewers for the first one. So, you know, hey man, if that's how you can help, that would be immense. You know, word of mouth is the best way you can help. If you can't be there physically or for the stream, if you can't watch it, you're busy. Like, and that's why we're doing it on the weekend. You know, that's why we didn't do it in the middle of a weekday, because we know people are working. And also, you know, just to avoid big news stories. Like, if we had done this on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and say Afghanistan happened a month later than it did, we would be doing an event asking for UAP transparency during that mess. It would look insensitive. It would look just awkward and out of touch. So that's why we're doing it on the weekend, so we could avoid things like that. And to look not out of touch. We also understand that, you know, there's a lot of other suffering in the world. So check out the website. There's also links there to donate to refugees that have been directly affected by the crisis in Afghanistan. And also there's a link to the Red Cross if you want to help people with that have been displaced by Hurricane Ida. So there's, you know,
that's
those
amazing.
We've added onto the website. So please, you know, like, and just to go back to kind of what Jane said, making it a political conversation where you can make it neutral. Like, we're having a whole bunch of scientists on the show. This is a science conversation now. So you could pass these kind of things on to, you know, people that may not be into the topic, but maybe really love science, you know, maybe that people that aren't into the topic, but love military speak. We're going to have all of those things as much as we can within the 3 days. And so hopefully it encourages, you know, people to share it. And like, I think my favorite story is my neighbors across the street. She found my show. I don't know how. I can't remember. I think it was her husband who started watching it, and they love it. They had no idea about the topic. They love the science that we bring to the discussion, both on Michael's channel and on my channel. We try to do it as best we can too. You know, but we're not the scientists. We bring the scientists on and talk to them and ask them questions. But, you know, but yeah, you know, it's just trying to bring this conversation into a place where, you know, it's a topic that brings people together as opposed to pushes people apart, because it's a bipartisan issue. That's the most important thing. It's a bipartisan issue, UAP. So,
and Luis, that's reflective in your speaker list. I mean, I know there's people on that list that wouldn't be caught dead being on a show with one another and don't get along and would never go to a conference and speak with this person, but here they are all being a part of the Big Phone Home because they see the bigger picture. Yeah. So that's what you guys have done. You've brought the community together. You've introduced us all to each other. Putting faces to names is so important, I think, in this field. And seeing the human that's actually behind the screen is so important too. So you guys have done an amazing job with that. Gary is in, he said. So he's going to be reaching out to you guys.
Excellent, excellent. Well, we got to get it together after the show. See where we can put him.
I've got a spot on Science Day if that works for him.
Yeah. I think he can do that. He's taking some courses right now that you'll find really interesting, for sure.
Yes.
Other than that, UCR has become something truly special. Carl says, and I couldn't agree more. You guys, and like Jane said, she and I have been in this field for a really long time, and I have never seen such a strong community. And it's always bringing me to tears. We've spent so many years doing what we do and being made fun of or being shamed by the older guard or everything in between and just arguing and not getting anywhere. And boom, here you guys come, and you're doing 5 shows a week. You're so positive. You're working your butts off to make these sort of things happen. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for letting me be a part of it. And I'm excited for what's to come the next 3 days. And that's the last thing I'm going to say.
Awesome. Well, Ryan, it's truly a pleasure. I mean, you and UFO Jane have been true trailblazers. So we're just following your footsteps.
Yeah. We're standing on your shoulders. That's for sure. And you know, hey man, this is not our, this is for everyone. No, we don't own this. Take this website and make it your own, make it your thing. And we encourage that, go for it. Have fun.
Have fun. That's key. Well, let's throw the socials out there, guys, for each of you before we go here. We'll start. Jane, tell us where we can find everything you're up to.
Yeah, so UFO Jane TX right there, that's the Instagram. And then, if you search UFO Jane, on the different social media places, you'll find me. Because it's different. It's very confusing. It's different URLs everywhere. But I'm everywhere, so.
Awesome. Mike, give it to us, brother.
You can find me on Twitter at Singularity Mike. Gary, I just followed you on Twitter, so I'll be reaching out to get you on the show. And then you can also find me at the Singularity Lab on YouTube. Day 2 of the Big Phone Home will be hosted there. So all you got to do is type in the Singularity Lab on YouTube. And that's it. And then we're on Unidentified Celebrity View Monday, Wednesday, Friday as well.
Awesome. Rather, let's do it, man.
Happy squidding, YouTube, Rather Be Squidding, and this weekend at the Big Phone Home, too.
Perfect. And Luis, last but not least, brother, give it to us.
Lou Angelus, L-U Angelus. Just check out my link tree and my Twitter. It'll give you all of the links to where you can find the Big Phone Home, where you can find my channel, where you can find Mike's channel, where you can find Rather, all of that stuff. So that's it.
Awesome. And again, it's thebigphonehome.com. 3 free days of amazing speakers and guests and ways to activate yourself and get involved. So everyone go check it out. I'm going to say goodnight to you guys. Do my little socials separately so you can go have the rest of your night free and hopefully relax. You have a lot of work ahead of you. So I'm going to say goodnight, Luis, Rather, Michael, Jane. Thank you so much for joining us.
I'll see you first thing tomorrow morning, Ryan Sprague.
Bright
and early for me. I think it'll be mid-morning for you.
Mid-morning. Yeah, depends on how tonight goes.
Blue-eyed and bushy-tailed. Here we go. Yep.
Blue-eyed and bushy-tailed. I love it. Thank you, guys. Have a great night, all right?
Later. You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye. That was incredible. Guys, thank you for joining us for this hour and a half live stream. Please join us at the Big Phone Home. It's going to be an amazing event. And again, I have to thank Michael and Luis and Jane and Rather for everything they've done to make this thing come together. It's giving me hope in the UFO field. Something, we're let down a lot in this field. And a lot of really good stuff has been going on in the past couple of years. And we can't let go of that. We got to keep it going. And that's what they're doing with the Big Phone Home. So again, thebigphonehome.com is where you can find everything. You can even watch the streams right from the website as well. Other than that, please check out Somewhere in the Skies, as always, on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm on Twitter at Somewhere Skies, Instagram at Somewhere Skies Pod. Thank you to all of you who did the super chat, super stickers tonight and contributed to the show. I really, really appreciate it. It does make a huge difference in making the show continue and grow. So thank you. I have this beautiful new microphone because of you guys out there. So yeah, if you want the quality and quantity of Somewhere in the Skies to multiply, please consider helping the show out that way, or by simply liking this video, subscribing, sharing it, and everything in between. I want to thank all of you for coming tonight. Thank you to Aethro, Aura, I always get your name wrong, I'm sorry, Case for Infinity, Mo, April, Paisley Wave, Judy, Gary, April, I know there's so many more, Redbeard, Chris, Carl, Boss, Anonymous Rex, you guys have been so supportive, and I really do appreciate that. And if I'm forgetting you, I will get it next time. So join me on the next live stream. Other than that, have a great night. We'll see you tomorrow at the Big Phone Home. And that's all I got, guys. So as always, I will give you my send-off. Keep your feet on the ground, but never stop searching Somewhere in the Skies.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.